2023, the year with the highest rated, highest one of the highest rated and most profitable movies of both all time, and the year was made by a woman. And what are we doing? We're pitting three women against each other to see which one was the best.
Oh, it's a woman fight. I didn't know we were doing that today.
Of course.
I don't have to tell me the category.
Women against each other.
See, this is why I'm glad I let you come up with that, Tyler. Now you have all the incriminating stuff. This is
Well,
great.
this is clearly a
Tyler,
bit.
it's only two out of the three women that are actually fighting. So,
Oh,
what?
no. The
T.
Barbie fans are going to be furious
Welcome
about this
back to
one.
another Oscars episode. This is 3-2-1 binge. Chris is here.
Please dial
Hello.
zero on an airport courtesy telephone.
Alex is trying to escape, apparently.
He is in an airport on the run. Have you ever seen Terminal? He's doing that. We
And if you ever hear.
didn't want to tell you guys, but Alex is actually Tom Hanks. We didn't
That.
want to keep it, we wanted to keep it a bit hush, but it has been Tom Hanks all
That's
along.
why we were gone for a year. We had to get him.
We had to get back to get Tom Hanks out of that airport.
Yeah, I have to run, so.
Yes, and I'm Tyler. This week we're doing Best Actresses, which is gonna be three really good movies because last year was pretty great.
So wait, this is the Best Actress category, but one of these movies did not get a Best Actress
Well,
nomination.
listen, they were supposed to get in, or like had a very high chance of getting in.
Yes, one of them is not technically in the lead actress one, but it does have its best supporting actress. It also has
Yeah.
seven other nominations, so of course we're gonna be talking about it.
Yeah, see,
Yeah.
Tyler's gambling's finally come back to get him. That's what's going on
Hey, I won today.
here.
But kicking us off, number one.
That's me. First we're gonna be talking about Barbie. Barbie and Ken are having the time of their lives in the colorful, seemingly perfect world of Barbie Land. However, when they get a chance to go to the real world, they soon discover the joys and perils of living among humans. That description, while accurate, does feel wrong in vibe, if that makes sense. I don't know how to describe
It
that.
sounds very, I mean, yes, the movie is like, well, not animated in the sense that it's just Barbie and like everything is kind of wacky, but like it sounds like it's an animated movie. Like that sounds like a kid animated movie description.
It does. It's like something I get like on a DVD, like 2005 from a Target. That's kind of, and it's kind of the vibe of it. But yeah, I mean that's Barbie, directed by Greta Gerwig, part of the Barbenheimer craze of summer or whenever that was. I don't know time.
It was
It
summer.
has
You're
it was
also
summer.
very in. You're in very good theme right now, wearing the fucking Ken sweatshirt.
Yes, I bought. We and Tyler both bought the Knuff sweatshirt, and it was a great decision because this is the single warmest piece of clothing I
It's
own.
so hot. I can barely wear it
It's
anywhere. May I
ah, God, like I
Yeah,
could save so
I.
much money on heating now by just
Please
wearing the
stop.
sweatshirt all the time.
I don't really want to be a teddy bear, so that's just not
I
my.
feel fantastic in this. This is great. I wear this anytime it's cold now.
Look good. You look good.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I didn't
You look
plan
enough.
this. That's all I ever needed to hear.
You
I
look
didn't plan
enough.
to wear this. It's just kind of it's just cold today, so this worked out pretty well to
This
for me to
time
be doing
out.
Barbie. Yeah, but I mean that's Barbie. Chances are, if you're listening to this, you've seen it. Most people have. If there were two movies people saw this year, I would probably assume it was Barbie and Oppenheimer at this point.
Yeah, at the same time.
Barbie, I've seen it twice now. I rewatched it for this episode, and I can safely say Barbie's a very good time. Barbie's a very fun movie. It's very fun. It's very energetic. It's got some fantastic production design. It's got some really, really kinetic direction. Some really white, some witty writing. Pretty solid performances all around. With Margot Robbie giving a great performance and then getting completely shut out by Ryan Gosling giving a better one.
It is funny that, yeah, looking at the best actresses this year, it's Lily Gladstone, Emma Stone, Carey Mulligan, Annette Bening, and I am forgetting somebody. Who am I forgetting? Oh, from Color Purple, Daniel Brooks.
Not Fantasia. No, that's
No,
supporting actress.
who the hell is the other one then?
So it's Emma Stone, Carey Mulligan, Lily Gladstone, Sandra Hüller from Anatomy of a
Sandra
Fall.
Hüller. Okay, yeah, I
That's who you're
forgot her. Yeah,
missing. Yeah.
I forgot. I knew I was
Yeah.
forgetting somebody. It's a. Margot probably should have been in there over Annette Bening based on everyone's reaction to
Attention
it,
to
and
your
I
all
had
units,
getting
this is the last
anything.
year for Allegiant Flight number.
Also, sorry everybody for the constant airport signs
So
sounds.
you're saying that Margot should have been there over Benning? Over Anatomy of the Falls, lead actress?
No. Annette Bening is a Naiad. Sandra Hula is the one who should
Oh,
stay in,
Naiad,
though.
the one
Yeah.
that I've never heard about. That's
Exactly, the fake
right.
movie.
Okay,
I'm not
the
gonna
fake
lie,
movie.
I wouldn't put any Barbie actor in this category, to be honest, if I had to choose. Like, oh my God, so much boarding information. But I would say, like, realistically for me, I would say this goes for like production design, costume design, and like maybe best movie, like best film. That's kind of it for me. I don't really care about the other nominations. I don't think it, that's my hot take, is I don't think it actually works for a lot of these other categories. But oh, and best original song,
I was gonna say
that's
best
one,
original
that's
song
one.
was like the other one I was thinking
Sorry.
about.
Yeah,
So
I mean that's the one that's gonna win, like
yeah, yes,
for sure.
if it's I'm Just Ken or what is it? What Have I Done or What Have I Lived For? I forgot what Billie Eilish song's called.
What was I made for?
What Was I Made For?
Yeah.
Get it right, Tyler.
Yeah. But yeah, out of the 8 nominations, yeah, 2 songs, that's right. Best Picture, that's correct. It got a Best Adapted Screenplay nomination over Killers, which is that one I don't agree with.
It's a lot of weirdness in that sentence as a whole. Like I mean, I don't care for Killers, which we'll
Thank
talk about
you.
later.
Oh, I'm
Yeah.
so
No,
excited.
yeah, we're gonna be on the same
Yeah, it's
side.
2-on-1. I know
Oh
that.
yeah. It's gonna be interesting because
Yay.
I rewatched Killers for this episode and I have thoughts on it
Oh,
that
so did
I
I.
said it sucks, and I'll bring this up a bit more in detail later.
Good,
After we
good, good,
watched
good.
it, I had a great like say thing. I articulated my thoughts on it perfectly. I do not have a clue what I
Good.
said. Can't remember a single bit of it. So
Ah, come on,
hopefully
Chris.
Tyler
Yeah, I
remembers
already
enough
talked about my
to
six
start jog my
goals
memory.
and
Will
come on,
say
Chris.
I will say I think for Barbie it's interesting just how good this year has been because Barbie's direction is solid. It
It
is
is.
just good direction. And I think in a number of other years it would be a highlight. But this has just been a really strong year
Well, yeah,
overall.
here's the thing. When everyone said that
This
Greta got snubbed as director, when you're looking at the people who got nominated, who are you putting her over? Like
Yeah, there's not really a good pick.
like Chris, I mean not Chris. Well, yeah, Chris, you haven't seen Zone of Interest yet, but Jonathan Glazer got nominated.
I can make assumptions that's going to be good. Even if I did not like Under
I
the
mean
Skin that much, I can assume his direction's fantastic, so.
Like I said, Barbie is a great movie, but a lot of the noms that it has, to me, it's not on the same caliber. And it's not because of the bad movie, it's because the type of movie it is, it's not, there's a lot of things that aren't revolutionary. The songs are great, the production design's great, and overall it's a great movie. That's why those three are my categories. I'm okay with that being there. Everything else, I'm like, I don't understand. Like there's You're just putting them in categories that, well, and costume, but you're just putting them in categories that they don't belong in, if that makes
Yeah,
sense.
fair. I mean, yes, for me, like I enjoy the movie when I saw it originally. The fan base made it hard to say you like the movie, like when the nominations came out and they like freaked out.
Just
But
stay off Twitter,
it
Tyler.
is a good movie. It is a good movie. I'm
Like,
gonna give it that.
my comparison is like something like Avatar or Top Gun Maverick. Like, those are good movies, but like, the only reason why Barbie has all these like writing noms and acting noms is because of who's in it. But when you really look at the material, it's not groundbreaking that it's garnering all these things. Like Top Gun Maverick is not gonna get a freaking best actor nomination, right? But it's a good movie,
Yeah.
and that's okay. That's fine. But Barbie just seems to transcend all of it. So.
I think that there's something to be said about the discourse around Barbie on both sides. Like, yes, I've seen the fan base being like, how did this movie get snubbed? It ultimately is just not as good in these picks as for as you know many of the other movies there. I've also seen a lot of like the new kind of like yeah, as always happens on Twitter. Twitter loves one thing, especially like early on, and then 6 months later, it's like I think it's time we all admit that that was actually the worst fucking thing to ever exist,
Yeah, it's
and
the
you
worst
were
part of
stupid
film
for
Twitter.
liking it.
Or the
It's
opposite.
that's you
Or
know
the
Twitter does
opposite. Like,
oh
first you
yeah or
hate
the
it.
Like,
yeah oh God
Babylon.
not the
Like,
revisionism.
Babylon. Everyone hated it. And then it's like, now it's like, okay, we're going back, hopefully. Because it's not a bad movie.
Yeah, I
I
don't.
gotta see.
Yeah,
I really do
Twitter
want to. I
sucks.
really want to see Babylon, actually.
I do
But
want to see
yeah,
it too. I missed
Twitter
it.
does that. Twitter does that, and I think that you know both sides of it here are really stupid. But we already talked about like you know the argument of like it deserved all these noms, so you know deserves to win. Blah blah blah. No, I don't think so. But I think also in regards to like you know this movie has been like this movie is bad feminism, and it's like I don't Me and Tati watched this on our on the second watch together, you know, just to get her to
That's
really
a
let my
lie.
thoughts.
That's a
It's not,
lie.
I don't even think I'd call this a feminist film. It's like a female experience film, and I don't think that automatically needs to pigeonhole it into like, you know, because it's a movie about female experience, it's forced to be a feminist
Agreed.
film. I also, you know, in a slightly more is a bit, it's a movie for the boys. It's a movie about the boys, for the boys. It's a movie for us. It's not for you, ladies. It's for the
Oh
gang. It's for the
God.
guys.
Oh
It's for
God.
the
So
but,
that's
Chris
why
is
I
still
can't.
getting himself canceled. Look, I thought
That's
I
why.
pivoted really hard between it. So it's like I said something really clever and then I pivoted to the dumbest shit you've ever heard. That's my
Really
new
did
method.
there. Oh, and that's why I think like it is dumb to have I'm Just Ken and Ryan. Like I'm Just Ken is a great song for the movie, but if you're gonna try to market it or like have the discourse around it being something feminist, it's gonna be so awkward if I'm Just Ken wins or Ryan actually wins. And those two are technically possible possibilities, and I don't
They're the
really
most
get it.
likely, yeah.
I don't get it.
Speaking of
I
Ken, after seeing like most of the Oscar movies now, I'm pretty sure my picks for supporting actor would have not included him at this point.
Me neither. It never had.
My
Well,
he was still holding on until I saw Anatomy of Fall.
Did
He gives a
somebody
great
from Zone of Interest get
performance.
nominated?
No,
No,
it
it
has
has
to
to be
be Zone.
Anatomy of the
Yeah.
Fall.
No. Yeah.
Anatomy of Fall, dude, that man, that little boy
Yeah.
is
That dog, man. And the dog, yes.
spectacular.
That dog
And
deserves a nom.
the dog deserves a nom too for
Yeah.
best supporting actor.
Yeah, my picks would have been swapping out Gosling for Milo Machado. I forgot his like last name. That's what Anatomy of Fall. And then who was? Oh, Melton. Yeah, Melton should have been in
Yeah,
there.
Melon should have been like three or four at this
Melon should have been
point.
in there, and I think in if both of
Top
them were to be
three.
in there, I think I would have kicked out. I think I would have kicked out Brown, even though I love that character.
Yeah, I would too. It would be Brown and De Niro. That's a two, right?
No. Mine was Gosling and Brown.
Oh, Gosling. Oh, you know what? I might have like different ones then. I would have kept Mark, and I would have kept RDJ, but I feel like there was someone that I'm like thinking about,
Oh
but
yeah, Robert Downey Jr.
I
is
didn't
gonna win it.
like.
Downey Jr. is gonna win it.
Yeah,
Ruffalo is
absolutely.
my second pick.
Absolutely. Yeah, me too.
And then I
He needs
forgot
his
who I'm
moment.
missing. Whom I'm forgetting somebody, but either way,
De
the two
Niro.
pick De Niro, yeah, I think De Niro is like
He's
arguably the best
great.
actor
He's
in
great.
Killers.
He is.
But yeah,
Who
we'll get to
else?
Killers in a minute. Barbie, yeah, it's a fun movie. A little bit got overhyped in the fun of it all, but it's still good.
Yeah, it's still a good time. I think it's hard to watch it and not enjoy it, honestly. Like it's just fun. It's a fun experience. It really is.
I will say, Greta Gerwig, what she did is something that's really good in her direction, is that she not only made this movie like accessible to like the film critics, but she also made it accessible to the everyday human being. Like there are a lot of women who and men who need to hear this type of message, where like America Ferrera, people make fun of that like long ass monologue, but there are a lot of people who actually walk away from that who needed to hear that because they're just not as like educated, or they're not as involved in this type of discourse in their everyday life. So I know people from like my hometown who like cry coming out of this movie, thinking like this person just spoke their entire like entirety, like, and that's really important. Like movies can't should be accessible to everyone, and I think that is one thing that I will give Barbie a lot of credit for, is that it did a lot for just like little girls. You know, adult women, like teenage boys, like everyone, honestly, I think it really has accessed to a lot of people.
Yeah, I know that speech got shit on, or like everyone cut shit on that speech for being like too on the nose, but I didn't have a problem with
Yes.
it because of what you just said. Like, yes, this could be
Yeah.
someone's first time watching this type of movie and
It
getting these messages. Yeah.
is. Yeah. It's a lot of people's first time watching something that is a little more like substantial. Oh my God, this damn. Okay, I'm beating myself.
Chris, anything to wrap up Barbie with?
It's a fun, very meta deconstruction of Barbie as a brand. The Mattel
Yes.
stuff should all honestly have been left on the cutting room floor. It adds so
Agreed,
little. It's easily the weakest
agreed.
part of the movie.
Will Ferrell is not great in that
I just think that entire plot line easily could have and should have been
Sucks.
dropped. The movie honestly bites off more than it can chew, and because of that, a lot of his themes feel somewhat undercooked because it doesn't really get to delve into them in the way that a movie like Poor Things does, while also being a movie about female experience. So I really I appreciate the big swing. Doesn't always hit, But it is just a damn enjoyable time, you know. So I can't, I have no complaints about it like that, you know. It's
Yeah.
fun. It's fun.
It's
Yeah,
fun. I
I
mean, yeah,
agree.
Ken, I mean, Gosling is great in it. He just would have been the sixth best if everybody else we listed was in the nominations.
I really just don't see what Ryan has done and that he hasn't done in a different movie, in my opinion. I really still see the same guy. So that's my only thing, is like I don't really see much of a good performance from him. I think it's solid, but it's just not, I don't know if it's in my top like six or 10 or whatever. I can't really rank his, like, I can't rank a lot of the performers in terms of like amongst the others. Like,
It's such a camp performance, all of them,
it's
that it's
very
a bit weird to
different.
rank
Yeah.
together.
It's very hard. Yeah.
Well, I feel
But
like the
I, for
only
sure.
one that's comparable would be, well, in Mark Ruffalo and Poor Things, our next movie.
That's a good, that is, yeah, let's go over to Poor Things.
We can switch over.
Alex, do you wanna
All
lead us into
right.
that?
Poor Things is a 2023 film directed by Yorgos Lanthimos and written by Tony McNamara. And it is based on a 1992 novel, and the plot follows a Bella Baxter, a young woman in Victorian London who comes to life through a brain transplant and embarks on an odyssey of self-discovery. This is one of my favorite films. So.
This is the better Barbie we joked about.
Yeah,
Like, this is what Barbie wanted to be, if it was like wanted to be really serious.
this is like this is what people on film Twitter are talking about Barbie wanting to be, despite Barbie not really trying to be that. But like when people
It's
talk
not.
about it, this is what they're talking about. They're talking about this movie,
This is what
and
no,
it's
this is what
good.
film critics think Barbie was going to
Yeah,
be,
exactly.
directed by Greta Gerwig. But what in reality was, it's not that. And we should take it as what it is. But Poor Things is immaculate. I think it's really, really well executed. I think I like this more than The Lobster, and a lot of people like The Lobster so much, but
Oh, I love Lobster.
I think I love Poor Things more. And Bella or Emma Stone, I said Bella Baxter. Emma Stone is crazy good in this, on a technical level. And yeah, I don't know.
I think
I
it's
just
her
really love this
best.
film.
I think it's her best role. Out of everything I've seen from her, I think that's her best. Even though I gotta finish The Curse, because the fact that she did The Curse and Poor Things in the same year.
I heard about The Curse.
I heard that she's
Like
amazing in that, and I've only seen like three episodes, so.
I've only seen three as well. It's a slower watch for me. It's not like I can't just watch it and binge it,
It's not the type of show that
but
you can do that, yeah.
yeah, no,
It's too
definitely not.
much. Yeah. It's not my favorite like bingeable thing, but
But yeah, Poor Things is great, but if you know Yorgos, his brand of directing with fisheye lens, and the way his dialogue is between like just really crass humor and just it's a mix between crass humor and very like formal dialogue, and they mix it together
yeah.
and it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's definitely a much funnier movie than I expected. I didn't even see the trailer for Poor Things before going in. I knew that it was vaguely a female Frankenstein movie. That was the extent of my knowledge. So I wasn't expecting it to be so funny. I hadn't seen Lobster or anything else by Yorgos, so it's fun to go in blind and be pretty surprised by the movie as a whole. Yeah, and performances are great. I probably I'm not nearly as in love with Emma Stone's performance as everyone else is. I know a lot of people really praise it. I think it's good. That's kind of the extent of my thought. I think it's like, you know, very strong performance, but I think, I don't know. I don't find myself like completely blown away by it in the way that other people were. I think Defoe is also really good in this. I think Mark Ruffalo is eating the fucking scenery in the, like, he's just chewing it up. It's so funny. It's
Because he's
so
acting so
utterly
over the top
ridiculous.
and it works so well just because he's playing an asshole like Duncan.
It's a performance that should be so bad because it's so ridiculous, and it's so perfect here that I absolutely love it. I think every time he's on screen, it's hilarious to watch this like mustache twirling
I know, it's
idiot
so
villain.
good.
God, I really love his performance there.
There are a lot of similarities to Poor Things and Barbie because I said Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Gosling is like trying to be Mark Ruffalo here, and Mark Ruffalo is just Mark Ruffaloing
Put Mark Ruffalo as Duncan in Barbie and Ryan Gosling as Ken in this movie, and I just want to know what happened.
You know what
I would love
happens?
to
It just
know.
becomes a Ken and Bella movie where they get together.
Yeah, actually, it's a pretty good point.
Yeah,
I was caught off guard by the sheer amount of fisheye lens in this when I was watching it.
That's his handbook.
I don't think I've ever seen fisheye lens used in a way that did not make me feel kind of ill until this movie. And
What,
I was kind of surprised by that.
used in a way that wasn't for like skateboarding videos?
Yeah, I fucking normally hate fisheye lens. So this was the first time where I saw it. I'm like, oh, I don't hate this. And I think it's mostly because of the color grading on things looking really nice, but I can't be sure.
I love the score on this actually.
Oh
It's
yeah, great music.
so creepy in the best way. It just really fits the movie.
It sounds like someone's playing a
And
broken piano.
yeah, well, someone's like tuning it as
Yeah.
they're playing it. But yeah, no, I think that the themes that are displayed here, like it does explore a lot, and like it's so interesting to see someone who is supposed to be living a life as a baby in a grown woman's body and then still learn so much about the human experience for a woman, which is like to me a very profound thing to watch. And also it's really weird that Emma Stone has only done two nude scenes in films, and they're both by Yorgos Lanthimos. Just gotta say,
That
a lot
sounds
of
about
trust. It's
the director. And
a lot of trust. She
speaking
worked
of
with him
nudity,
5 times, so.
this is a extremely nude film, I guess is the way to
Sex
put it.
positive?
To the
Yes.
point, sex positive. To the point that a lot of people like it, kind of like glazes over, if that makes sense. Like
I mean, yeah, the first
there's so
sex
much nudity that
scene.
it's just like, ah, oh, yes, of course, nudity. Yeah, no, I know. I've been here for about 90 minutes. I understand.
Yes, sex.
Like it's doesn't
Shock
I
you.
can't quite find the word.
Like
Yeah, I guess it doesn't shock you. It doesn't
you
catch you off
see
guard at any
the
point.
first time a sex scene, no. The first sex scene is her masturbating when she discovers that.
Well,
Yeah.
it doesn't feel explorative for me. For some reason, it doesn't feel explorative the way they show these scenes. Like first, like a lot of times, sometimes I'm like, okay, sex scenes are like, this is so unnecessary. But like for Poor Things, I don't see
No,
it. Honestly,
you don't cut a sex scene in Poor Things because you're showing like that that's
yeah.
the like there's nothing extra in the sex scenes. They all added a purpose.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I mean, there's not much to say. Like Willem Dafoe did really kill it too. I think he gives consistently good performances all the time, and it's hard
He
to
does. Oh
like,
yeah, I
you
fucking
know.
love Dafoe.
Me too.
His
Me too.
him, God, his character's name God, and Maxwell. They're such a funny pair because anytime that God is describing his childhood, fucking Max's reaction is like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
Did you guys know Rami Youssef went to my school in college, Rutgers Norwich? He was in that theater department.
Really?
So,
Yeah, I'm in college. I was friends with one of his friends.
Wow, that's crazy.
That man is killing it, and all kudos to him because he also did a really good performance.
Yes,
One that I
he'll.
don't think anyone has ever talked about really when
Yeah,
talking
it.
about this film, but he's a good addition to the film.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a subtler performance. It's not as bombastic as Defoe or as Ruffalo, and
Ruffalo,
it doesn't get
yeah.
to be as technical as Emma's, but like it is a good performance. He definitely fills that role pretty much perfectly. So I think it's done extremely well. And
Now,
he always loved
why?
to see a New Jersey success story. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
So
exactly. Wait, so why are you not as impressed with Emma's performance?
I don't know. I can't quite place my finger on it. I know that like when we all walked out of the theater, it was me, Tyler, Juan, and Ashley, and everyone was like, man, her performance was so great. I'm like, yeah, no, her performance was really good. I guess I don't know. Nothing about it blew me away. I can't quite put a finger on why that's the case, as much as it was just
Okay.
my general reaction to it. I
Were
don't have like
you
it's not
okay?
like I have a problem with her performance or anything like that.
Were
It's
you
just
waiting
that
for a
like
scene? Like, were you
I
waiting for
don't know.
her scene or whatever?
I don't necessarily know. I would argue she kind of almost has a her scene in that way, if that makes sense.
What would it be? Because I'm trying to think of one, but like, it's just the whole movie, really.
I probably think of like her reaction to the starving children.
I guess it.
As
That
a what scene?
that scene's important, and that's probably my least favorite scene in the whole movie.
Really?
I don't like that. I don't like the Alexandra sequence, which is like 5 minutes, but I don't like Alexandra. I get why
Really?
it's there, it's important, but like if I had to pick a scene out of the whole movie, I don't like that moment.
That's so interesting to me. Huh.
I actually think it's one of the most like important, like I think it's
Yeah,
one of the more
it's
important
definitely
and
it's
critical
critical
to
to
her
her worldview.
worldview.
Like I'm not disagreeing about any of that. I just don't like viewing the scene.
See,
Yeah.
yeah. Interesting.
Yeah,
I just find that so interesting.
It was a weird production, like, set for me too, but like, I found that to be the most striking.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's probably one of my favorite sequences, just by sheer nature of how striking it is. Like, it's like a child realizing how terrible the world can really be, you know? It has to have that, like, smashing through glass kind of effect for her character, and I think it nails
I
it there.
think that's why I don't like it, because it was just entirely a cool act, which is the point.
Yeah.
So, like, I get, yeah, I, the point, I just didn't, I don't like it.
Well,
interesting, interesting.
I mean, this whole award season, I've had Emma as my number one, but I actually, it's not the same anymore. But
is it, do you want Lily to win?
I don't want Lily to win. No.
Oh, is it Sandra?
I
oh,
think
it's Sandra. Yeah.
It's Sandra. But I will say, Lily is a great actress, and she should win a leading actress. But this is a slap to the face to me, to award her this win, because she's barely in the film. Like I think she can do better. And she, I mean, like she can do better, and she will do better. So I'm excited to see what. Next for her, but I wouldn't want her to win this one, because like that means that she's giving the best performance she could in this one, if that makes sense. I don't see her winning another one if she wins this one, you know?
Who, Emma?
No, Lily.
Oh, okay.
It's hard for people of color to win multiple times, honestly. So for a leading actress, it's hard. So for me, for her to win this one where she's only in it for like an hour-ish, and like, you know, it's the only consolation prize for a film that we'll talk about this in the next one. But
yeah, we're close to it already.
We're close to it. We're close.
That's
going to
be the one where we really
take
sink our
on,
teeth
yeah.
into it, I think. Yeah.
But I can see a world why Emma Stone isn't like the lock to win this at all. I just don't agree with the second choice for it. But yeah.
Fair. I really do like Sandra in Anatomy of a Fall. I think probably
it's
that would be my pick actually. Yeah.
I just
looking at the nominations right now. I didn't watch Maestro. I don't believe Naiad exists. So my pick is it personally would be Sandra. I think she was fantastic in that movie.
Yeah,
there's
so
much range. I really loved her in that.
The more
so
I think about Anatomy, the better it gets. So she's quietly creeping
I'm
up.
I'm obsessed with that
movie. I mean, that's going to be where that's next, I say next week, but next episode.
Yeah.
The
right?
Next time we come out, yeah.
We'll get to give you our deep thoughts on why that dog deserves best leading actor next time.
Yes. But yeah, Poor Things is great. I would love to see it win. I honestly kind of want to see it win some of the things that Barbie is supposed to win. Like,
I got it. I want it to win production.
Really cool.
I would rather this win
production. I think production
than
design is. I think Barbie will win that one on lock, but I do think Poor Things deserves that one.
My reasoning for Poor Things over Barbie for production design is the fact that Barbie had the toys to base everything off of.
Yes.
It doesn't have shit to base anything off of.
I agree with you 100%.
I would personally, I would just feel like, just from a sheer level of stylization, I give it to Poor Things over Barbie.
Me too.
Fundamentally. I think that like it lands this fantastic aesthetic of like almost dark fairy tale, just this pseudo gothic aesthetic,
grim,
but mixed
like,
with this you know,
they
high,
say it's Victorian
everything
England,
is very,
but it's clearly not like actually Victorian England.
Yeah, it's a fantastic aesthetic he nails down here.
It's really cool. I love Yorgos's world. His world building is great.
Yeah,
I
love how weird he is.
I think the branch that does production, I think they value like technicality, and like for Barbie to execute such a technical way of how the toys operate, like I think it's going to win. I don't know like if it deserves to win or not. I think there's cases for both, but yeah, Poor Things would be a close second, if not first, for me.
I mean, production is a stacked category this year, because it's those two, it's Oppenheimer, it's Killers, and I think Napoleon. That last one might be wrong, but I forget what the other one for production would be.
The Killers get it, or isn't it Oppie and Napoleon and Maestro? Oh, no, it's not Maestro.
No, yeah, Killers is definitely in production, I know that.
Okay, cool.
But
it's pretty stacked.
Yeah, no, it's a stat category. Poor Things, I think Poor Things should win Tooth. I don't know how many it's gonna win. If it doesn't win production, I don't know if it's gonna win anything.
It might lose out on everything. Although BAFTA's really enjoyed Poor Things, and I am happy about that, because it deserves to win more things. But yeah.
We mentioned it before, but this movie is hilarious. Every time God mentions his childhood, or describing to Max what he did. Like, the movie starts out with a woman killing herself. God finds the body. The baby's pregnant woman. The baby's still alive, so he puts the baby's brain in the woman. And how he describes that to Max is so funny. He's like, oh, yeah, I saw that it was live. It was obvious what I had to do. It's like, it fucking was? What did you do?
It was not obvious at all.
No.
Oh, what? How did you guys think about the last act of, like, the rich husband? I hated that storyline. I hated that storyline.
See, I've heard people hated that, and I'm looking at it, it's like, it makes sense. Like, we've been through her, like, growing up because her brain is a child, so she grows up. But then she had to confront where she came from. She had to confront her past life, which she didn't know, and then, like, we find out why she killed herself to begin with.
I agree with that, but it's just the way it's done. I think it's like, okay, well, it's not my favorite part.
Yeah, definitely not my favorite part, because, like, at that point, you're completely out of the whimsy. You're no longer on, like, your character's hero's journey. That whole sequence exists purely to be, like, her final confrontation of like...
I know.
Being a person, her own person.
Yeah, yeah. There's a word, self-something, that the word I'm completely blacking on right now.
Self-discovery?
Not self-discovery.
Self-realization?
Self-realization is close enough, yeah. Like, that's her big... thank you. Actualization. That's her big moment of self-actualization. It's just, it's finally doing what... she quote-unquote never could, right? That's like the big final moment, and I can understand how that's like, it stretches, because it's basically a whole sequence to structurally hit, like, a single notch.
Yeah, it's
but
a little,
I, you know, functionally I understand why it's there, you know what I mean?
I mean, I love the end, like the outro of, like, them all at the house, and he's like, what is it, a goat? Or
I think,
like,
he's like a goat man.
Yeah, they put his head, go, yeah, he's a goat. Yeah.
Like, I like that. I do love that. But I think the scene, like, all the scenes beforehand is just a little too much of it. Where I'm like, okay, well, we really got out of the world here.
I thought the movie was done. And then we're kind of like, oh, no. Okay. Fourth act. Cool.
Yeah, kind of. I still think it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't have too many of, like, any major problems with it. But I definitely feel like it was, like, a noticeable experience when I saw it. I'm like, oh, okay. We're here.
I mean, yeah, I get that aspect, because, like, yeah, it's the wedding. You're assuming that, like, it's going to happen, and, like, it's just wrapping up the last 5 minutes of the movie with, a nice, happy ending. But then it goes on for another 10. It's fine for me. Also,
well, how do you guys feel about it not being, like, as awarded with the cast ensemble? Like, I mean, the Holdovers is kind of winning that stuff lately, and I'm fine with agree with that. But I love Poor Things as a cast, like, as an ensemble. I think everyone had their own piece to the plot, and it's really cool.
They do. I think Holdovers is just getting more, because the three interact way more than the five here. Because God doesn't
that's
really
true.
Interact with Duncan besides maybe two instances.
Yeah. Almost nothing. Yeah.
Max true, doesn't really true. Interact with...
like, anyone, really.
Well, Max has one
Emma.
Scene with Duncan, and then Emma interacts with everybody, but, like, Holdovers is much more tighter. As an ensemble.
Yeah. All right. Cool. I think with that, is there anything else to be said for Poor Things?
No. No? I guess not.
Then oh, Tyler. I got a question. Is Bobby better directed than this?
No.
Better directed? No.
Yeah, okay.
That's
so
crazy, Tyler. That's a crazy
that's what I mean.
I'm
just going to keep putting this point out that, like, yes, Greta is good.
Tyler's going to keep comparing women. Got it. I understand. Yes. Keep comparing women to men so that we're forced into this weird position where we have to say, no, she's not as good as him.
Greta again, is good.
Greta
Bobby's
is good.
Not...
Bobby's arguably her worst movie, too, which is funny.
Ah, I fucking did not like Lady Bird.
Really?
Me and Tati saw Lady Bird, and our reaction to it was, ugh. Did not like that one, personally.
She's not my favorite director, but she's clearly hitting a note with a lot of people,
oh,
especially
clearly,
women.
Yeah. I still need to see Little Women.
Little Women's good. Yeah. It might not be something that we get necessarily, because I do think that a lot of women who are into film are really obsessed with her work, and I like Lady Bird, but I don't think it's like...
I'm like, fine with Lady Bird,
it's not bad.
Tati had seen Lady Bird before me, and she hated it, right? So I'm like, okay. Tati, come on. No, I saw Barbie. You know, it's probably good. Greta's shown me that she can make a movie I really like. So, like, I have no reason to not like Lady Bird. So I'm gonna have faith in Lady Bird here. And then we watched it again together, and I'm like, oh, no, you were correct. I do not like this movie. She's
For
like, yeah,
me,
I like it less.
People compared it to Boyhood, like the lady version of Boyhood. Mm-hmm. And it's not a comparison.
I got nothing on that, so.
Yeah, I still haven't seen Boyhood yet.
Okay, well, Boyhood's good.
There we go. That's our recommendation for the episode. Go watch Boyhood.
Boyhood, yes. The movie
go watch.
Two of us haven't seen.
Yeah, literally.
three stars from the people here. Everyone says go watch it.
But yeah, that should be it for
Poor
Things.
Right, and let's look
let's
over.
Jump onto our last movie, Killers of the Flower Moon. Directed by Martin Scorsese, a 2023 movie starring Leo DiCaprio, Lily Gladstone, and Robert De Niro, and then an assorted cast doing very small roles. It tells the story of the 19... I don't know the exact year, but early 1900s. We're in the Osage County. I don't know where it is exactly, but Native Americans find oil. They become some of the richest people on the land, and it is about how this tribe was essentially massacred for the money. Yeah, that's basically it. 3 hours.
Real downer you're bringing to the table, Tyler.
Yeah, right after two really fun movies. We're going right into Kill
Go for a fun movie.
Yeah. I enjoy this movie more than clearly some of you.
Yeah, I'm gonna let Alex go first because I can't remember my thoughts, and I figure that if I let you guys fight long enough, some of it'll come back to me.
Well, Tyler, you can talk about why you like it. Well, I guess maybe I could go first.
Well, okay, I'll address the one thing that everyone's gonna say. Yes, Scorsese did his best. Yes, I kind of agree. I do agree that if an Osage director or somebody, an Osage writer, whatever, could work on the movie and have their input on it. Probably is better if it was put from the perspective of Molly, who is Lily Gladstone's character. Yes, it would be better, but that's not the movie we got. And Scorsese did the best he could with what it is in telling the story of like how this tragedy was allowed to happen.
That is a glowing review from Tyler Zucker.
Well, that's not a
good
review.
Job.
That's me. That's
good
me.
Job.
You lined everyone else up, Tyler.
I like the movie for what it is.
Okay, so. For me, there's so many issues that I think fundamentally is my biggest one is that this is based on a book, which I think the book is fine for in the perspective of just Jesse Plemons' character.
Yes,
I was
gonna say the book is more focused on the creation of the FBI, and in the movie, in the FBI come and they solve the case in like 2 seconds. That's more the book focus, and then from that, Scorsese, and then I think it was like either Gladstone herself or somebody else set to focus more on the Osage people themselves. So this is more so than the book, and it's more so than the book.
I think that's my biggest issue is that not only did they choose an aspect of the book that's not really that prevalent, they chose to focus it on the opposite point of view of like this year has been such a trend of documenting a very big tragedy but focusing on the ones who are the aggressors, and it's very, for me, the other two films did a better job and a more delicate job. This one,
quick question, what's the second other one, because obviously Oppenheimer, I'm trying to think what's the other one.
Oppenheimer,
oh,
Zone of
Interest. I haven't seen it.
The one with Nazis in it.
Movies don't exist until I watch them, Tyler.
It's okay. But all three of them have gotten so much praise. And for me, Killers is like the odd one out because I think it is just downright like not necessary for me. I don't even think I wanted to see it from a Native American or Osage director. I don't know if I want to see this type of story play out that way because it feels redundant. It feels like there was nothing for me to take out of this. I don't know what human being takes out of this film. Like, we already know the atrocities we've done on them, and I think that this type of narrative.
Did we know that?
We don't need another story of how bad the white people were in this scenario. To me, like what are we gaining from watching Leo DiCaprio make fun of like the tribe? Because when I watched it in theaters, I watched it in a very small town, and the audience will be laughing along with him because it's Leo DiCaprio. When you have someone like Leo and Robert De Niro starring as the aggressors, you are naturally inclined to root for them. And so a lot of people in the theater were rooting for these characters to rob, kill these
I do
people.
think that was
At least,
intentional, actually. Not that I think that was the way the
absolutely,
movie. I don't think that should go that way,
absolutely,
but I do think that was like a very intended decision by Scorsese.
absolutely.
But
And
I
I don't
think
like it
the
that way.
intention behind it was supposed to twist the knife of like, you guys were inclined to do that because it was a charming person. You were so easily fooled into like effectively the manipulation of two very charming, terrible people. However,
Right.
knife twists have a weird effect these days in that they kind of don't always work. We're seeing more and more that people will very easily miss the point of moments like that. Recently, Starship Troopers has been a big discussion. Like, that sounds like a weird pivot, but like a lot of people are being like, that movie isn't making fun of fascists. That movie is saying that we're the right ones. And it's like, well, no, you just, media literacy is just kind of dead right now. And so it's a situation of like, yes, the point was to twist the knife and be like, don't you get it? Look at, you were so easily able to like fall for this, right? But instead, for some people, they'll be laughing along with DiCaprio, et cetera, et cetera. And I this is going to be another weird pivot. I think Dune is going to run into a similar weird situation once we get to Messiah. I think we're going to have a really weird thing of people being like, nah, Paul did nothing wrong. What are you talking about? It's like, that's not the point of the movie. Paul is Space Hitler. That's the All this to say, that intended twist does not always land, and
It
it needs
doesn't
to be
always
dealt
land.
with very, very cautiously, I feel, right
And I
now.
think the Zone of Interest, by example, like did that. Oppenheimer did that. Killers of Flower Moon, I do not feel that way coming out of it. I did not
I agree.
feel as if there was an actual like level of pain coming from myself. Like I almost was just like, wait a second, was I supposed to do this? Like was this supposed to be knife turning? Because it felt like it was just like, oh, let's just watch these two act really horribly, and because they're great actors, we're gonna enjoy these performances because they're great actors. Like that's the way it felt coming out of it, and it didn't feel like, it was like very much like, oh, let's not support this type of behavior.
Oppenheimer, I think, gets the he does it right and does a lot better. And I think Oppenheimer kind of like it gets the benefit of having its horrible person have a degree of separation between the actual like actions of murder. Whereas like you're here, you're quite literally following the killers of the Flower Moon, right? So I think Oppenheimer gets the benefit of that. Haven't seen Zone, so I can't say necessarily like how that handles it or anything. But I agree with you that I don't honestly think the effect really works all that well. And I mean, my big thing with the movie, I have an extreme downer take on how I feel the film should have gone. Now I'm remembering what I said. And it's a take that I feel is a accurate interpretation of the film as information has been presented. It is also not a take that Scorsese could be the person to say. To me, like the opening sequence of the movie is probably my favorite sequence of the movie. I think it's really well shot. I really like its direction. I like that whole scene. That's easily my favorite part of the movie. It peaks and then it goes down from there for me. And
For
to
sure.
me, that whole sequence is basically saying like the Osage are kind of dead to begin with, right? Like the culture that was no longer exists. These people will have to grow up. They'll be worshiping a white man's god. They'll be using a white man's money. They'll be living in a white man's world. And then to me, the movie is like, even as these people have the ability to succeed in a white man's world by having access to oil, by being the richest people, they're trying to play by a system that simply was not built for them and consistently exists to support the people who are killing them as they get away with it for the vast majority of the movie. And as even at the end of the movie, they kind of get away with it. They just like basically they get a slap on the wrist and a couple years in prison, but like no meaningful punishment for the murder of this family, right? So to me, the real theme of the film is that the Osage have been dead from the start of the movie, and what exists now is something different. It is new for and it is not truly what once was. But that is an extremely kind of like crazy statement to say, especially considering like the Osage people still exist today. But that is definitely the theme that the movie feels like it's presenting in the beginning sequence. And it's not a theme that I feel like Scorsese can honestly commit to because he's a white man writing a movie about genocide of native people. He's not the person who could tell that story if he wanted to. So he's stuck in this weird, like, it's a weird position the movie ends up being in where it's like, it feels like a series of half measures where it can't commit
Yes,
to
yes,
a
yes,
lot of
yes.
meaning, and instead it kind of bounces around,
Yes.
and especially once you get to the CIA plot line, it just starts to kind of like feel like it's just like the wheels are spinning on
Yes,
gears,
yes,
and
yes.
it's not saying anything
Nothing at
meaningful
all.
that I think that's one more thing to actually mention. I can't remember the name of the study, but there is a study about biases when it comes to watching a movie, right? Or reading, and I think it had to actually do originally with books, but basically the idea that politically you are inclined to understand that a movie is, saying something about you when you agree with it,
Yeah.
right? So it's like for people who are already aware of the genocide of Native Americans and are kind of aware of that at a cultural level,
Yeah.
right? Of course, you understand implicitly that this movie, Leonardo DiCaprio is not the good guy. He is not our protagonist by any way.
Yeah.
Whereas if you are someone who does not politically lean that way, let's say, that might not really be your take out of the movie. And again, Starship Troopers ends up being a great, a surprisingly great example of that for the discussion at hand, where people will simply think the movie is actually aligned with them when the director has said, "No, I'm making fun of you." And with this movie, because it tries to go for that knife twist, like we mentioned, and because of that bias, it really lands on nothing. Because if the movie was actually focused on Molly as a character and actually gave her any meaningful amount of screen time where she was not dying of illness,
Yep.
then I feel like you could actually cement a message or something meaningful there that the movie ultimately I don't think really does. Again, I think the best way to describe it is like a series of half measures but it's beautifully directed.
You had a really good point
There you
about
go.
the half measures thing, and it brought me up to like, for me, Martin Scorsese felt like he wanted to be super difficult. Like he wanted to do something that's super hard to do, which is a white man trying to not offend anyone by making a movie about white people killing Native Americans. And like that is such an insane line to walk on. And to me, it's like the question is, what was the point of that? Like, it's for you to exercise some crazy creative skill that you have. Like I mean, he did a good enough job. I don't feel offended by Martin Scorsese, but what I'm saying is I got nothing from it. And like I don't want to watch people die left and right for me to feel nothing about it. Like there was no point. Like I'm sure, it's all subjective, right? Movies, you can get whatever you want out of it. If you want to watch this type of film, like absolutely. But to me, like Oppenheimer gave me the feeling of like, what's the cost of doing something great? What's the cost of finding a new invention, finding a new improving something? What is the cost of like going after something relentlessly, right? For like Zone of Interest, like what is the cost of making a life for your family? Are you able to ignore all everything around you and like just do it? This one, I don't know what I'm supposed to get out of it. I really do not. And that is my issue with a long ass film like this, where it's just tragic, tragedy, 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 but it's just relentless and it's not in a good way, or not good way, but in a thought-provoking way.
I think I
I
also
think
want
my
to
take
say,
from being my
hold
thought.
on, Tyler, before you get into defending, we're still gonna put it dead. We gotta continue beating the dead horse. We're not
Jesus
done,
Christ.
Tyler, please. I want to know the production of the script and like how things were edited over the course of this film's production, because we know it started on the book, it changed focus, and I specifically want to know when that last sequence is added where it kind of breaks the fourth wall and it becomes
And Scorsese, the ending I do love. I do
where
love that scene.
Scorsese effectively apologizes for not being the person to tell the story. Because I want to know when he came to that realization. At
Probably
what
when he
point in pro-
realized.
yeah, at what point in production does Scorsese like write that into like, oh, I'm just not the
I
guy who did this. Like,
swear
did he
to
bite
me.
off more than he can chew? And then at some point, as he's in the middle of this, the ball's already
That's
turning, and he's like,
literally what.
"Fuck, I'm just not that guy. I can't do. I
That's
can't
literally
actually
what
be
it
the
feels
person."
like. It feels like that was added after filming everything and was like, wait a second, I don't like where this is going.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle of production, it feels like it kind of hit
It
him,
feels
like he
icky.
properly
Yeah.
was like, "Oh, I actually can't do what I want to do here. I took a
Right.
really big
Right.
bite, and I'm choking on it right now." So it's like, I gotta kind of pretty much include an apology. It's like I did what I could. This movie might not have even existed without me. I don't know if that makes it better or not, but this is
Absolutely.
the event that has
I
occurred.
don't think so. I don't know.
I think yeah. So now, Tyler, now feel free to begin defending yourself.
So you guys were the film. Well, Alex was
Yourself
mainly.
defending yourself.
Alex was the one saying that, like, what you took from the movie at the end, or how you're just viewing the actors as just doing terrible acts and not Yeah, you were saying how you're only viewing the actors act amazingly but as terrible people. Yes, they do that, but I find
Yes.
the characters themselves is what got to me. For these two, especially, for Leo and De Niro. Hale and Ernest, just the way Ernest is, as at first when you meet him, you think he's just an idiot. He's not exactly an idiot. He's not, definitely not smart, but he's not an idiot because as you learn throughout the movie, he's directly part of his uncle's plan to
Yeah.
kill, to interrogate, to just make sure these people go away. And he's all in it
Yeah.
for the money, but he also has the
Yeah.
whole thing with his wife, Molly, who he is poisoning, and he knows that. At his heart, he definitely does know that he's doing something terrible, but he
Absolutely.
somehow finds a way to separate it within himself. And I don't know, me trying to figure out how a person could do that throughout the whole movie, that's was interesting to me. As for Hale, I think that might be the most evil character that De Niro played, and just how he acted as not the same way as Ernest, but how he knew he just the one his scene with him at the jail cell at the end when he's basically saying like, "This is all gonna blow away. This is just gonna be another tragedy to them. It's like people are gonna forget and no one's gonna care." And like scenes like that are the ones that stayed with me. And like yeah, his overall character of just being this heartless person who's like, "Oh yeah, they have money. I want more money." I don't know. That's why I enjoy
Yeah.
the movie and the characters. And we haven't touched on her, but Molly. Yes, the argument. Yeah,
Molly.
Molly is. You do wish that she was in it more, for obvious reasons. She couldn't be because, like, 90%, not 90%, half of her story is her being poisoned, so she's stuck in a bed. But
Yeah.
she is. Lily Gladstone is great in this. I feel like my
She
bet
is.
is on her to win over Emma.
She probably will.
But as for your point about, like, lead versus supporting, I don't think the runtime of her on-screen performance should matter in that case. Because, like, many people are, yes,
Say,
I
say,
get why
sorry, can you say,
people
say that one again? I feel like I got. Say that again.
like her screen presence or screen time. I forgot what do you call it. Her
Screen
time on
time?
screen. Yeah, her time on screen, how Alex was saying that, like, that should make her more supporting because she's barely in the movie comparatively. That shouldn't matter. Like it, I get why she
I
was
guess
in it
I
too.
personally I would want like a more strict regimen of what exactly leading actress, supporting actress, what differentiates them narratively and like in a structure. Because like from a structure perspective, like okay, she is our leading actress,
She's the
but like
first
that's
woman on the billing, but like
yeah, like is
narratively,
that
it's
all that
not a,
really means?
it's
You know what
no,
I
it
mean?
shouldn't. I think narratively there should be like, for example, like La La Land, like narratively both like narratively it centers on Emma Stone's character more than it does Ryan Gosling, right? Well, that's a really bad example.
As I was
Like
saying.
what I'm saying is I think hold on. I it's more like I think a leading either leading actress or actor, it has to at least follow your narrative a little bit. For Molly, it never follows her narrative. It follows whenever we see her, it's because there's something to do with Leo, which is our protagonist. And well, our net not narrator, but like the leading man of the film. And for me, Leo being dumb or like perceived as dumb also makes it worse because we know that he's not. And yet him being portrayed as an idiot at certain times makes you feel a little bit more bad for him because you're like, oh wait, like he's being tricked by his uncle to do all these bad things. No, he is
Until like
someone
the
who's
midway point.
doing
Yeah, there's a midway point where it's just like, oh, like he's just telling people to do things. He doesn't know that they're killing them. And then it shows him beating up the detective. It's like, oh no, he's in on it. Like he knows exactly what he's doing.
I feel personally like he knows from the very beginning, but
I think
that's
he
just
knows from the
I
I think
like
he knows from the
I you
beginning,
may
and
think you
I
know,
think
but
as the audience you
there's
are
a
aware.
level
There's a
of doubt.
deception to
There's a
us.
level of doubt that you can at least give it to him until the moment where it's like in
But
your
that's an
face, no, he's
issue
doing
for
it.
me. That's a huge issue
I
for
don't
me.
really
That
know if
makes me
it is, at least not for me, but
makes me feel weird about it because you're like, oh, you're supposed to sympathize with this man more because of that. That fact of like him being tricked or like having Robert De Niro be a much more intelligent character, you know? Like it just makes me feel like, oh, like you're supposed to root for this guy to change it and figure it out. And like it's stupid. It's to me it's just dumb. Like I really do not get much substance out of this. Like I really felt like I was watching a community be decimated just because. And I just can't. I can't. I walked out of there super deflated about like cinema, because I was like, Martin Scorsese did a really great job, like technically, but then the content is just trash for me. I just hated it. I was like, this is insane for me to watch this 3-hour-and-a-half movie and come out of it feeling like nothing, like everything is just not great. This is my Manchester by the Sea moment, honestly.
Yeah, you hate that movie too. That one.
I love grim storylines, but I hate when grim storylines have nothing else but grim. Like, I love tragedy, but I hate monotonous, no, for me, no meaning tragedy, and it just feels so. It feels like I want to go like jump off a cliff. Like, and honestly, like, I don't want to watch films like that for myself. Like, I love sad movies. I relate to sad movies more than happy movies. But stories like Manchester by the Sea, stories like this one, I just like want to jump off something and like not think about it ever again.
Well, I mean, if I had to compare the two, I'd rather watch Manchester over this, because at least Manchester mixes the tragedy with some hilarious moments. And I love the dialogue in that movie.
I like Manchester, and also it's shorter, so like it's not really much of a competition.
Also, the length helps, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, obviously I'm the guy who's going to have... Wait, am I going to have it? Oh, we'll see. Either way, yeah, I'm the one guy here who enjoyed Killers more than everybody here.
Yeah.
Overall, it should win... I got it winning the one. Best actress.
I would love for it to shut out, because I don't think movies like this should get awarded. So, Sandra Hüller, just kidding. I would be okay with Emma Stone or Sandra Hüller winning, but.
Oh, I do I think.
And
yeah,
I do love Lily Gladstone.
I did say it before, but I did think Leo was snubbed. I don't know who the hell you would take out of that. Well, I haven't seen Maestro, but I know everyone doesn't exactly like.
No, I don't like. Care for Bradley Cooper's performance.
Yeah, but even then, I don't know if I would say. I think Zac Efron definitely deserved it, and I would still have Zac over Leo. But yeah, either way, I still think Leo deserved more.
I really got to see Iron Claws.
Yeah, Zac Efron, surprisingly, Jeremy Allen White had nothing in that movie, but that's not.
It's because like it's way more focused on Kevin Von Erich, which is Zac Efron.
Right, but like even Harris Dickinson, I felt like had more to do, which is great for him. I love seeing Harris Dickinson. But anyway, yeah, we should definitely do our rating. I think it's gonna be different.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be the same among us. I think me and Alex would probably be the same.
Yeah, as I said, I think you two would be the same. I'm gonna be the one slightly out.
Yeah, that's what I
don't know. I don't know. I think all three of us might have different ones. We'll see.
Interesting. Let's see. So number three. It's Killer of the Flower Moon for me.
Killer. Okay, never mind.
It's gonna be the same for you two.
I feel like at least you are gonna be the same.
I wasn't positive that Chris would like rank Barbie last for some reason, even though you didn't enjoy
like
it.
It.
So
like,
never mind.
Maybe did I come up as harsh on it? I liked Barbie.
No, Chris, you didn't.
I really enjoyed it.
I just think a lot of people like say they like Barbie, but they still have it last. If that makes sense.
I thought it was fun.
Like. You know,
okay, just having a good time.
Yeah,
over
Killers
here.
Is third.
Yeah, I'm over here like peaceful. I'm having like a good time. I'm just throwing out bits of not thoughts. That's about it. I'm chill. This is the new Chris. Since the return, I'm much more calm here now.
Nice.
Tyler, what was your number three? I don't think I actually heard you.
Oh, Bobby.
Barbie.
Tyler hates women. Number two, ladies and gentlemen.
Barbie.
It's Barbie for me. Yeah.
Poor things.
Wow.
Wow, Tyler, really? He also hates women in acting positions. Crazy.
Wow. He said.
Wait, what do you mean?
He said, let me have a leading lady that's like in an hour of the film.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
He wants his leading ladies to be in about 60, about 70% of the movie. 70% of the movie compared
here.
To the
You're the one
man.
Going just right to the white woman.
That's true. That's honestly.
Oh, no, he's got
true.
That intersectionality. He's got us.
That's true. He got us there. We're done. He got us there.
Oh, boy. And number one.
Four things. Yeah. Killers
for Tyler. Yep, there it is.
There we go.
Someone's a big Scorsese head. Big yep. Scores head. A Scorsese.
I do need to see.
Them.
I do need to see more of his movies because
you really
sure.
do. I think this is
you've
this
seen
is personally
more than me,
my. I've seen more than you. Yeah. This is my least favorite Scorsese by a pretty wide margin.
How many
And
did you
a lot of
say?
my favorite Scorsese's, I feel like, never get talked to. Wait, how many? That's a great question.
Because
I
I think
don't
I've
know.
seen 5 or 6, I think.
I've definitely seen more than that. I've seen Killers, Goodfellas, Shutter Island, Departed, Silence, Gangs of New York, Hugo, Aviator,
Oh wait, I got
and I
seven.
probably need to
I
scroll.
underrated me. But you still have one.
I think I probably still have more. I've seen Wolf on Wall Street.
You've seen Shutter, you've seen Goodfellas. You haven't seen The Irishman or
Yeah,
Taxi Driver. That's
I
the
haven't
only
seen the
two I've seen more than you.
yeah,
Taxi
those are the
Driver's
only
the
two I
best
actually haven't
movie.
gotten around to.
Yeah, Taxi Driver's
I gotta
great.
get around to it. I really wanna watch it.
Scorsese is a hit or miss for me, so I did not like the Departed or Killers.
Oh,
Ooh,
really?
Departed's so
Departed.
good.
I
Because
agree to you on Killers, but Departed.
the reason why is because it's based on a Hong Kong film called Internal Affairs,
Well,
and that
yes, I
movie
know
is
that. Okay, yeah, that's fair. That
so
I can understand.
freaking good. And
I really want to watch Internal
I was
Affairs.
so excited to watch this, and then I was like, oh, it's not the same. And I don't know why it's Martin Scorsese to be adapting random shit to me, in my opinion. The Departed does not have the same soul as the other one, which I guess like it's fine to adapt it and have it different, but I was not expecting the Departed to be like that. So that's why, because I watched Internal Affairs first.
Got it. Okay, that's fair. So you watched it like knowing the
But
adaptation.
Shutter Island is one of my favorites of like all time, and Wolf of
I
Wall
love
Street
Shutter
is
Island.
great.
Yeah, I love Shutter Island. I think Gangs of New York might be my favorite. I really like Gangs of New York or Goodfellas. I
I was gonna
really
say,
enjoyed
do
both
you
of those
love
quite a lot.
I haven't seen Gangs of New York, but do you love it because of Day-Lewis's character?
Day-Lewis' character is great, but I honestly just loved it as a whole. It's crazy to have a world that's just New York yet feels wildly fictional. I don't know how to describe it, but I really enjoyed Gangs of New York. I thought it was a great watch. And I also really love The Aviator. I think that's my personal favorite DiCaprio performance is Aviator. So you know,
Mine's
I like a lot of Scorsese stuff. I also really like Silence. I really like Silence much more than the
yeah,
average person. I thought Silence was fantastic.
Silence I want to see more than like most of his other movies, just because of how people say it's his best, and he came out with that like, well, at this point it's gonna be 8 years, but still.
Yeah, I think Silence is utterly
Is
fantastic.
that the Andrew Garfield?
Yeah, Andrew Garfield, Liam Neeson, where
I
they're
need to
priests.
see that still.
Yeah.
I think that might be my favorite, like,
Oh, it
because
was so good.
I saw clips and I was like, I'm obsessed with this, but
I
yeah.
really loved it. But see, I think because of all of that, Killers was even more disappointing to me because it feels
Martin
so
needs to
messy.
do he needs to do less like long ass movies. Irishman, I couldn't even get through it.
I gotta watch
I
that.
like the Irishman a lot.
I literally stopped. I
I
like Guy from
really feel
Moulin
like
Rouge.
I really feel like it was just a real big swing, and you know, by nature of it, a big miss for me. You know,
Which one, Killers?
Killers, yeah, just a really like a massive swing, and then halfway
Well,
through
it's
hitting it, he's like, oh fuck, maybe
he
too
fouled it
big of a
off.
swing.
He fouled it off, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he kind of like, I don't even know if it's a massive swing. It's more like a random swing. It's like you're chopping like the top of the tree or something instead of starting at the bottom, you know? Like it feels weird. It feels like a random thing to do. That's my take on it, is that I don't get it. I don't
Well,
get the reason.
thankfully we have Tyler here to tell us why this movie is better than our other female-led films. So that's, you know, thank goodness for Tyler being here to make sure that we know that really well with his
That's why I
rankings.
bought the podcast back. That's exactly why.
That's why he brought the podcast. It was just for this. There was
Teach
no other reason. This is the
movies
last
about
episode. Goodbye, guys.
movies. I
to
just
bring the
realized,
men back
out
to
of
the
all
four
three of these
folks.
movies, all right, is the only one winning, the only guaranteed one winning an
May I
Oscar is
reintroduce
Barbie with the song,
Teach
right?
movies come to.
Oh,
That's the
shit.
only one
That
thing
is
that's like 100%
wild.
the correct, and that's gonna get win.
Well, actually, no. It's one of the other two is guaranteed as well, because it's between them for the Oscar, in my opinion, for
For what,
Best
production?
Actress.
Oh, well,
So,
yeah, that too.
no, for
It's.
like Best Actress, like it's gonna be 2 out of 3, and we just don't know which one. I
So
think
you could say
yeah, well,
that.
that gets.
it's gonna be either Poor Things or Killers for Best Actress. It's gonna be Barbie or Poor Things for
Right.
production, and then Barbie's definitely getting
Right,
song,
right.
whether
So
it's
like,
Gosling or Billie Eilish.
so it's to me. It's guaranteed 2 out of 3 films will have an Oscar by the end of
See, you
this.
could say
I
that
just don't
Barbie
know
did.
which
You could
one
say
it
Barbie
is.
did Knuff.
Barbie did Knuff.
Barbie did more than Knuff. It
More than Knuff.
was
But
more than
all right,
Knuff.
that's the list. I wanted to end on a bad joke.
God damn
Tyler,
it! That's the binge.
do your thing.
Follow us. That Twitter account is dead. Follow me.
Follow Tyler. Yeah, this is Tyler's show now.
Follow me at
I've
Tyler
turned the
Zucker.
reins.
Yeah, at Tyler Zucker. Follow me. I don't know. which one of these three actresses do you like the best? Do you think the actress that we didn't talk about was the best, like Sandra Hüller or Carey Mulligan?
Good choices.
Like and subscribe to us on any of your favorite podcasting listening services, whether it be Apple Music, Spotify, or anything else.
Oh, this might be brought to you by Audible. I don't know if that link still works, but check it out.
Just like wakes up out of a coma. Audible!
It's like having the alarm go off, you know? It's like 5 minutes to work. It's like, oh, fuck, I think we're brought to you by Audible.
If we didn't, Chris would die. Chris, like, is the door in the background that I see gets broken down. He gets shot right there.
Yeah, then Audible. Amazon. Jeff Bezos comes to my house and puts me down like a sick dog.
Yeah, you didn't say it.
You didn't say it.
That should be it. We still got two more of these Oscar episodes coming out, you know, before the Oscars, but we'll see when we get to them.
Yeah.
Next
roughly.
Week, we're going to
have... No schedule, pure vibes.
Next week, we're going to have a fun one with...
May I have your attention?
Well, half fun one. Past Lives, movies, Zone of Interest, and Anatomy of a Fall. So, probably not that many jokes that episode.
Ah.
Let's see how bad Chris can make it. Good night, buddy. Thank you. Alex,
bye, bye, everybody.
We'll see you next time again.
Bye.
Thank you for the people. Thank you for the airport. Goodbye.
Goodbye.